If you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 14, verse 1. This is a holiday weekend. We didn't know if you'd even be here. And yet there's a number of us here. And the second service, I'm sure there'll be a bit more on this, again, holiday weekend. But it gives me great pleasure and privilege to be able to share with you this morning from the Word of the Lord. I'm called this for lack of, I didn't know, I guess I could have called it anything, but Oswald Chambers, one of my most favorite people, who's influenced me by his writings at any rate, he said he had a motto. This motto was with him his whole life. And somehow, whether consciously or unconsciously, I took this motto for my own too. And this is what he said: trust God and do the next thing. You might want, if you haven't written it down, but put it somewhere where you can look at it again today or tonight or when you have your devotions. Trust God and do the next thing. You see, the two elements, one is trusting God, secondly is looking for that next step. And I remember reading somewhere they were going over to Japan. It was about 1914 or something, and they were going over to Japan for some special meetings, and nothing had been set up, and there was a lot of anxiety and a lot of uncertainty about the meetings and everything, and there they are back in 1914. A trip on a ship was a big deal. You were going a long ways on that, and you needed to be sure everything was lined up. So there he was, and his wife, Bibby, I think they called her Bibby, he said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What if the meetings aren't set up? What if they can't get the right people lined up for it? What are we going to do? He said, well, I'm going to have to trust God and take the next step. Oh, trust God and take the next step. Well, what's the next step? He said, I believe I'm going to lay down and have a nap. He laid down right there and slept for 2 hours, believing that when he woke up, there would somehow, some way, there would be the next step. Point we're making, there is, if you are trusting God, there is always the next step. There is never a time in your life where God will not have a next step. So if your house burns down, you get home today and your house is burned down. So what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? You can take the next step. What is it? I don't know for sure, but maybe I'll phone the insurance company. Right? Maybe I'll go find out what you, I mean, there's something that you will do. As you're trusting God, the next step will be made available at that time, but not before. God never reveals ahead of time what he's going to do. So you just have to trust him and believe for him for the next step. So John 14, 1, this is something that will take us through anxious days, uncertain days. Would you agree with me that if it's anything, it's uncertain days that we live in? We're not sure of anything, not sure of the economy, we're not sure of the instability, we're not sure of what's happening to homes and lives and children and marriages, and there's just a lot of uncertainty. So Jesus had a motto too for us, and simply this beautiful little phrase that you get a lot of mileage from this: let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to come back to that. But you see, that's what Jesus said to his disciples when they were anxious, when they were in uncertain times. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. It's very important that we heed this. It's part and parcel with the Christian life. Of all the other things that we're not to do, we are not to be panic-stricken. We are not to be overwhelmed with anxiety, although we will experience anxiety, but we're not to ever be overwhelmed with it. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Again, I'll come back to that. When we're going to trust God and take the next step, whatever that might be, it behooves us that we live aggressively, however uncertain, if things get more uncertain, which they probably will, and in your own life, and moments of great anxiety, it's important that no matter what else has happened, is that we live aggressively for Christ. I've already determined that. In my heart, in my life, I'm going to live aggressively. I'm going to be flat out for the Lord. And I would say the same, that during difficult times, whether it be as a church or as an individual or as anybody, we are to live aggressively for Christ. So how, I say, well, what does that look like? Well, we tell him that we love him with everything we have within us. That's the first thing. Lord, I love you with everything I have within me. And I am determined, here's the second part of that, I am determined to obey you with everything that is within me as well. I love you with all that's within me, and I will obey you with all that's within me. See, that's, you will never survive a crisis if you haven't surrendered all of you to the Lord and decided that you're going to be obedient no matter what this costs you. You will not survive. You will not overcome, because you can't be. You'll just be swamped by it. And so here is the encouragement to us to really what? To put the kingdom first. Lord, I love you with everything. As long as far as I know, if there's a part of me that doesn't love you, then I give it over to you now. But I want you to know, Lord Jesus, here this morning on this long weekend, I love you with all of my heart. And what's the second part? I'm committed to obey you. Now that's out of the way. Life can happen. That's clear in my mind and on my, that is not, no matter what happens, I will not abandon what just what I've just said of loving him and obeying him when we put his kingdom first. Now, if you notice John 14 and 1, we know something, that Jesus would never allow his disciples to be in a panic. Not many good things happen when we panic. I've panicked. You've panicked. I've been beside myself. Panicking, just unbelievable panic. And now someone else may not be just, you know how your panic is not the same as anybody else's. You're panicking. We say, about what? About my situation. And we heard the situation. Well, I don't know. It didn't seem that bad to me, because it's not my anxiety, right? It's not, it's their anxiety. So Jesus would never allow his disciples to be in a panic. Let not your heart be troubled. Can you say that this morning? Can you say, Lord, thank you. My heart will not be troubled. So the one great sin on the part of the disciples is worry. Perhaps most of you or many of you here don't have that as a category, but it is probably one of the greatest sins. The great sin on the part of a disciple is worry. And so whenever we begin to calculate without God, in other words, usually when I'm worrying, I'm not focused on God. I'm just focused on my situation. So whenever I begin to calculate without God, I commit sin. And when you see that clearly, you might say, yes, that's right, because I'm not bringing him into it. But what about God? What about God? Well, I don't know where he is. Well, what about God? I'm not sure about that. What about the scriptures? Oh, I don't know about the scriptures. Well, what about trusting the Lord? Oh, I don't know how to trust the Lord. I'm just so upset. And we sound like atheists or agnostics. We sound like we'd never heard of the Lord. As if the scriptures had no bearing on our life. All we know is that it's a terrible situation. I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, I'm panicking and I'm worried and I'm calculating without you. You see, if you can solve your problem without turning to Christ, you have not identified the problem. It's crucial that we include God in everything that's happening. Lord, I'm going to calculate with you to you be in my... So what is the admonition for us to be true to him in our life? That's the benchmark thing. I will be true to you, Lord. I will not turn agnostic when the situation gets hairy and crazy and kind of wild. So my wife has a... Well, she's not here this morning because she's under a horrendous cough and cold. Apparently, I gave it to her a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember it being like that, but perhaps I did. Think about sharing together. But she had a thing, and I think it was during the Second World War. Some of you can correct me on this, but on the front of her little book, it says this, keep calm and carry on. How many have seen that? Oh, okay, not many. You don't get out too often, maybe. See, I've seen that. But it's, I think you see it in stores. Their posters and their little books, and it says, keep calm, and I think, if you can correct me, I think that was during the Second World War when they were, where they weren't sure what was going to be happening, and bombs dropping, and so keep calm and carry on. Can I ask you this morning, are you doing that? Am I doing that? Keep calm, keep my eyes on the Lord, and carry on. Carry on with your life. Carry on with all the things that are on your plate. You see, we never see our way clear. We never do see it. You don't, you haven't and you won't. We never see our way, but we know God who guides us. I know where the guide is. I just don't know where the path is. And he never will tell me until I'm ready to move in that direction. So there's so much for us to throw us off track. We know God's guiding us, but we never quite see our way. We can't. Someone said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I don't really know for sure. Don't know all of it. I know some of the things I might do, but I'm not really sure because I haven't quite got the clear word from the Lord what I'm supposed to be doing." And so we never see our way, but we know he's guiding us. That's the confidence. God, you are guiding me. I believe it. Your word tells me, and I must trust you again for the next step. So I'm going to keep calm, carry on, as if you are completely in charge and completely in control. So there's so much to throw you off track. Anxiety is a strange thing, isn't it? Whether you're going to miss a plane or whether you're in some decision-making process or you're in a relationship or there's something wrong with your children or there's something wrong in your marriage or there's something wrong in your business or something wrong in your involvements. And so much to just, in other words, it's not hard to get anxious. It's very easy to get anxious and to be beside yourself and to really worry. And then after a while, I don't know how it is with you, but I realize I'm not praying. I say, "Well, I'm praying about it." No, you're not. You're fretting about it. Many times I'm fretting instead of praying. It seems like it, but I can kind of tell because I'm kind of burdened by it. And I need to fling that onto the Lord again. You know, cast, right? That's a great word. Cast all your care on him because he cares for you. But there's so much that can throw us off. For example, the care of other things. Right, just so many other things that are going on. The absorption of duties, all the duties you have, how can that drain you? Stress is not for the most part, is not a good thing, is it? And to be under great amounts of stress, and by the way, that's why we pray for each other. Mostly, yes, we want them healed. Yes, we want them touched. Yes, we want them delivered and set free. But most of all, we're praying that the Lord will surround them, right, and hold them during this terribly difficult, scary, frightening time. And we say, "Oh, they must be under so much stress," and they usually are. Right? That churning and sleepless nights and worrying about that loved one, worrying about that situation, worrying about the health, the future, all the things that the economy. What's going to be down the road? I'm getting older. You know, all a million things that, and they go, "Boo, boo, boo." And this comes, "Oh, dear God." And, I can tell people because they say, "I don't know what's going to happen next. I just don't know what's going to happen next." If anxiety assures job security, I'm going to be here for the long haul. And it might be me, that's seeking the help as well. So the place of help. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Psalms 121. Psalm 121. This is pure, absolutely pure vitamin C. This is a magnificent psalm. And it is the place of help. Right? Remember what we're saying is trust God, take the next step. So how can I anchor myself with that? That's not even a scripture per se, but it comes close. But Psalm 121, let me read it. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord." Maker of heaven and earth. Wow, that's great. "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you, yes, will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper." The Lord is my keeper. "The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you." Notice the key word, keep. He will keep. "The Lord will keep you from evil. The Lord will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in." Oh, there's a blessing. from this time forth and forevermore. If you have not read that verse before, you need to read it several times and then underline it somewhere, because that is the place of help. You see, God is in charge, and tomorrow is in his hands. That's all we have, right? God's in charge. Do we know that? Do we believe that? That some, in some crazy way, he's in charge. We don't understand what's happened or why it's happened or the difficulty of it or the suffering of it or the pain of it or the disappointment of it. We have no idea. All we know is that God's in charge and tomorrow's in his hands. That's a basic Christian belief, that the Lord has everything under control. That's what we believe, that tomorrow God's in charge and tomorrow is in his hands. So what? So live aggressively for him, flat out for him. Don't waste your sorrows. So many people go through great, hard, difficult things, but they don't bring God into it. And therefore, there's no spiritual gains. They don't live aggressively for Christ in the midst of a crisis. So we live aggressively for him, and we see the necessity to fling ourselves in abandonment upon him. By the way, the best book ever written, I think, ever written about Oswald Chambers is his book called Abandoned to God. He didn't write it, but it's a great book. It's probably in the library if you're interested. But abandoning yourself to God, that's a good word. You say, what have you done? I've just abandoned myself to the Lord. So I'm trusting him. What a place to be, abandoned to God. Can you think of that? I don't know what else is going to work out. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. But I've abandoned myself to God, and I know somehow, some way, he'll make sense of this. So abandon yourself to God, and here's what I would suggest: and intercede for other people. It's very, very easy just to get focused on your problem, my problem, this situation. That's it. But it's about me. And I desperately want to talk to you, right? I desperately want to share it with you. And that's fine. I think that's natural. But I think, I'll tell you, one thing that's even better is if we say to ourselves, listen, I've got this problem, but so-and-so is really hurting too, and that's really difficult for them. And I'm going to give myself to prayer for them. I'm going to lift up them before the throne of grace. I've got lots of things in myself, but to intercede for others while there's stuff going on in your own life is a very powerful thing. And you say, well, I need prayer. Yes, you do. But why don't you pray for some other people? Think of what they're going through. Think of the difficulty. Think of the worry and the concern that they'd have. And they're just, you could go on talking about that forever. But think about that. Now pray for them. Pray for them in the midst of uncertain times. And intercede in prayer for them. See, there will be days, and we know this, there will be days when everything is shrouded. Just, I don't know what's going on. All right, thought that was good. That didn't work. That didn't change. This has happened. That's happened. Everything just seems shrouded. So what we do is what Jesus told the disciples in John 14, 1, that there will be, that we're to take up our abode and see him work, to see the Lord work. So just go steadily on. So that my word is carry on, keep calm, carry on, just carry on. Just live your life for the Lord, steadily go on, and with this belief that God will engineer the circumstances, that he will look after the circumstances, and we will live our lives for him. But we take up our abode in John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, John 14, 1, the saint who enters into the rest of God the Father and God the Son. Remember what Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Okay. So, the saint who enters into the rest of God, the Father and God the Son, is under the control and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Believe also in me. And then the presence of the Lord comes to us. New circumstances. Yeah, remember that. All of a sudden you're downgraded in your job. What are you going to do now? New challenges. New surroundings. You see, the thing to do, and I need to remind myself of this. It'll be tomorrow, and the next day I'll have to remind myself, and a month from now, and a year from now, that I will be the one who's wondering about this, because we just take turns, right? Your crisis today is not mine today, but it might be mine tomorrow. And now I'm praying for you. So that's these things, just new challenges, new surroundings. The thing to do is just to trust him with all the heart, with everything within you, and lean not on your own understanding, and relax till you get used to the new surroundings. You say, well, I never thought it would end out like this. I never thought that would happen. Well, see, I never believed that was it. Well, I just didn't know. No, you didn't. I didn't either. And so what do you do? Well, get used to the new surroundings. All kinds of things. Say, well, this wasn't, here I am doing this. Who would have guessed it? Well, I might as well get used to the new surroundings. Looks like I'm going to be here for a while. You say, well, yeah, really? Yeah, just the way it worked out. Wasn't planning on that, but that happened, and this happened, and that happened. Now I got to do this, and now I'm going to get a new apartment here, and got these new things. There's new, just to say, relax. You say, okay, Lord, whoa, I won't panic. It's not how I thought it. We're not in Kansas anymore. I can see that. Don't know where I am, but at least at the brink of this moment, I'm not going to panic. I'm just going to get used to my new surroundings. Not sure all that's going to where it's going to take me, but I'm going to be just rest here for this while. Turn with me again, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. It's very interesting, and I think I want verse 1 to 3. Yes, here it is, verse 1 to 3. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now, listen carefully to this. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or am I mistaken for who you are?" Isn't that interesting? Shall I look for another? Am I mistaken after all? See, there'll be a time when you wonder if this thing is really real. Am I mistaken about this? Is Jesus really who he said he is? Here's John the Baptist. He said, I'm not really sure. I kind of thought he was. I kind of thought he was with me. I kind of thought he was directing me. I kind of thought he was the forerunner, but maybe he's not. Maybe he's not the one I'll put my trust in. And Jesus said, listen, interesting. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor of good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who's not offended by me. You say, wow, blessed is he. So there'll be times that, is this thing really real? What benefit does it to be a believer? What benefit does to trust God? Nothing ever works out. Look at this situation. Where's God in it? And we don't always know. And so he says, should I look for another? I'll tell you, if John the Baptist thinks he should look for another, you'll be looking for another too. So I think I should maybe look for another. You'll go through that. You'll go through that moment where it seemed that it was like it's very difficult to keep focused, because you say, I thought it was going to be a little different. And what Jesus is simply saying is, John, trust me, everything is on track. It's happening exactly as it should be happening. I can imagine, is it happening? Is it happening? Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. And then Jesus, blessed is he who... not offended by me. That you're going to keep trusting the Lord. I'll keep trusting the Lord, regardless of where this is taking me. So turn again if you, or turn, not again, but turn with me to Genesis chapter 28. I saw something here in this verses. I think whenever we're faced with crises and change and new surroundings and new settings and new worries that you never had before, health issues, money issues, child issues, church issues, person issues, all kinds of issues that are going on. You need to find your Bethel. And I'm going to read this story about Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there until night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And the land on which you lie, I will give to you, to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And here's that little phrase. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. And I'll bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. He said, well, there's nothing like it. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he put under his head, and he set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil on the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. I can look back in my life, and I see several Bethels for me. And I knew that it was a God thing. I knew that God was changing the direction. I remember one time in particular, I was working for Reimer Express Trucking Company, and just bottom line job. And I'd have to take, I don't know how that was, but I think I took a late bus home or something. Anyway, I remember being on a bus and getting off a bus, and right off of Portage Avenue, somewhere along there, Marjorie Street or Camden Place, somewhere in there, there was bushes and a kind of a little creek, a little valley there. You can tell back in those days, it was probably safe to be in there. I don't know if I do it now, but at any rate, I remember got off the bus a few stops earlier, and I walked to the, now this is again 12 o'clock at night, and I can still remember walking back and forth in this wooded area. I mean, there's traffic going by, just not very far away. But I'm in these bushes, and I didn't know, but every night I would get off that bus, and I'd go into that place, and for weeks and months, that was my Bethel. I didn't know why I was in there. I didn't know what I was. It was kind of like, at first I thought I was just having some devotional time. And then I began to realize that God was talking to me. And I didn't hear a voice or anything, but I'd be there the next night and praying and asking God whatever he wanted was fine with me. And if he had something to show me. But it had to do with his unfolding his purposes in my life. I remember, I've told you this story hundreds of times, but I remember being at Kettleston Camp in southern Saskatchewan, and after a very interesting week of camp counseling and puppets and everything else, all the stuff we were doing with the kids and seeing kids come to know the Lord. And I remember in this, all, you know, dark out there, just stars, and the Lord again talking to me. And I remember just laying on the ground and just praising him and thanking him, but not knowing anything, not knowing what this, I don't even know why I was doing it. I can remember that, by the way, that same camp, I can remember, well, maybe it was a bit later. It might have been a time later, but at any rate, it was the same place. And the evangelist, Brother Kosick, gave the altar call, and I went forward. I was at the camp there, so I went forward, and I knelt down there. I remember crying, and I remember just pouring my heart out to the Lord. Next thing I remember seeing some movement, and I thought some people had come and gone, and pretty soon it was 9 o'clock, or then it was 9:30, then it was 10, then it was 11, then it was 12, and I was still there. I was praying and crying and praying and just kind of there. And next thing, it was 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, it was 1 o'clock, I think maybe 1 o'clock. Then I'm shutting the lights out, looking for the light switch here because I'm the only person there. And I thought, where'd everybody go? I was completely I'm almost oblivious to what else was going on around me. I mean, I knew there was stuff going on. I wasn't unconscious or anything, but I turned the lights out. And the next morning, Brother Kozzy, he's gone to heaven now, but he's a great person. And Polish, as if that explained everything, but I don't know why, if it would or not. But at any rate, we're standing in the lineup together. Now, he was the evening speaker, and I guess he had seen and sensed something. And he says, "My brother, I see that last night you were under the spout where the glory runs out." And I said, "I guess I was." "My brother, I have a word for you. Stay there." Just turned around and walked away. What? But he was right. It was a Bethel. The Lord was unfolding stuff, but not clear. Not, you know, it wasn't, "Oh, now I get it. Thank you." No, it wasn't. It's just some mysteries and some, "Trust me, take the next step. Trust me, take the next step." What's the next step? That's it'll be there. There'll be a step. There will be something else, but this will happen, that will happen, this will happen, that will happen. So when you find your Bethel, see, it's the house of God. It's the gate of heaven, the place where we meet the Lord. You can't just come to church. You can't just, you know, do the kind of religious things that we do as Christians. You must press in and say, "Lord, he'll set the stage, he'll do it, but you'll know that it's the Lord." I wrote here, "It's a great calm not always to know, but just to see him unfold his purposes." Huh, who guessed that would have walked that way? Who knew that was going to go like that? So let us keep near him and wait for him, trusting that you'll look back and you say, "That was a Bethel for me, and that was a Bethel for me, and that was a Bethel." Many times. And especially when there's a corner to be turned, especially when there's something new coming into your life, that it's a moment to stay close, knowing that God may speak to you in ways that you just never dreamed, and how wonderful. And the implications, of course, are staggering. So what are some of the implications? Number one, I must refuse to worry. But it is very easy to worry. But we cannot tolerate each other worrying. I mean, you can tell the story once, but you can't keep on worrying, because now you're sinning because you're calculating without God. Right? "Fear not," Jesus says. And so I must believe that. So that's the first thing. Refuse to worry. Secondly, entrust your new surroundings to him. Say, "Okay, Lord, this is different. I didn't think that was going to be quite that way." All right. Okay, that's what they know. I'm just trying to think of 100 people here trying to come to grips with what it might be. But you just, your new surroundings, just, "Lord, I just trust you with it." And then, as I've already talked about it, take the next step. Say, "Thank you, Oswald Chambers. Thank you for that." Take the next step. There is always a next step, always. And then I would say this: what a way to live. What a great way to live. Looking to the Lord. That's why when somebody tells me, said, "You know, when I'm really in perplexity, I'm just really, man, I'm really under it. I am on the verge of a breakdown, I think." And I say, "Yeah, like it sounds like it." And you know that beautiful thing to be able to say, after we've heard it and after we've talked, to say, "Shall we pray about it? Shall we pray about it now?" And I love that moment when we bow our hearts and we say, "You know, peace of Jesus, peace of Jesus. Lord, you've heard what we've said here. Now we invite you to come and touch our hearts. We cast this thing on you." And you know, I've seen it so many times, and I never tire of it, never weary of it. Is that person, well, you can just see they're trusting the Lord. They're not sure what the next step will be, But we know that we've done the right thing. Now, I know sometimes with men, when I say, you know, shall we pray about this? They say, huh, is that bad? I knew it was bad, but I didn't know we had, it was down to this. Maybe that's why in the, we just struggle a little bit with this. But it's what we must do. Be able to cast our care on the Lord so we don't end up in the psych ward. We got to cast our care on the Lord so we don't get overwhelmed and have a heart attack. Stress will do us in. So we come, and in that moment of coming to the Lord, as you are going to come to the Lord now. I was singing, for some reason, I haven't sang this song since about 1970, but surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I hear the sound of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. That is the crucial thing, isn't it? That's the Bethel. When you're aware, that verse must have been taken actually from Genesis 28. That's the point where we say, Lord, I thank you and praise you and bless you. I know you're going to see me through this. I know you're going to work. I don't know. Sometimes, right, we know we have to yield and say, Lord, I don't know which way this is going to go. So I just surrender it to you because I can't carry it anymore. I can't carry it anymore. I can't handle it anymore. I must give it to you and leave the results, whatever. I would like it to be this, but if it's this, I'm okay with it. I want it really badly to be this, but if it's this, I'm going to trust you that you're bigger than me, stronger than me, wiser than me, and that you will lead me and guide me and direct me. Well, this is a great way to live. So I'm going to ask you this morning, I wonder, how is your stress quotient right now? Is this a great day for you, or if you're under amazing amounts of turmoil? And I know that coming forward isn't going to make necessarily everything work out just like that. We snap our fingers and it works out. But I know one thing. Whenever I have been going through things and feeling the weight of it, you know, you don't need a little pithy little, well, praise the Lord, brother, all things work together for good. You know, and you want, I'll show you what's working together for good here. Why do we do that to each other? I don't know why, but some pithy little remark, and you must have sinned. What are we talking about? But if you're here today, and you say, you know, I need to come into the presence of the Lord. I want you to come and just stand here. If you're bothered, struggled, worried, upset, discouraged, I invite you to come. Remember what we're going to do. We're going to trust God, take the next step. I have no idea what that means for you. But I know that the Lord will care for us. Anybody else just come and stand here. See, if we don't leave all of our burdens behind when we go to church, why did we come? Right? We came because we have so many burdens. We have many, many burdens. Might be financial, might be physical. So I'll just wait a couple more minutes. And glad for the men. It's good. Anybody else like to come? Just be included. We're going to pray for you. That's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for you that the Lord will watch over. God, you know if you're here, whether I'm talking to you or not. Yeah, anybody else? Just come. I don't know how it is for you when you're stressed, when you're worried, and you're... For Oswald Chambers, he was a very ordinary guy, and he hated religious people, you know. By the way, he really hated religious people. He had no time. He did not suffer fools gladly when it came to the things of the Lord. And I love him for that. But he was able to lay down on a deck chair and fall asleep. Was he worried about those meetings? Yeah, I think he was. But somehow he learned how to yield this to the Lord. Now, for the rest of us, I want you to either come up and put your hand on somebody, or at least just pray for each person that's here. And let's ask them that let's ask the Lord together that God will undertake. If we could put all their concerns on the screen, it would be an amazing thing. But you may not want it on the screen, so we won't do that. But we're here together, and I think this is all we need. And if two or three would agree as touching anything, be done in heaven and on earth. We're going to pray now for these folks standing here in their home church, standing here in the presence of Jesus. We're going to pray that the anxiety is going to lift off their heart and that they're going to walk out of here today encouraged. Just encouraged. Now, if anybody like come, if you're just feeling something for somebody, just come up. Just pray and put your hand on their back. There probably won't be enough for everyone. There might be. Yeah, just come and put your hand. It means a lot to have people praying for you. It means a tremendous amount to know that there's people here that when Lupita was having her surgery, you know, there was people praying when she was having her surgery. It means so powerful. You ever had financial worries? Man, that can do you in, can't it? Job worries? Yeah. Kids worries? Teenage worries? For sure. So here we are. So we're going to come to the Lord, and I'm just going to ask, and you pray for that person beside you or in front of you at the front here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for who you are. Such a great, mighty God. You're awesome, Lord. You are the awesome God. No wonder Jacob said, surely this is the house of God. Surely this is the gate of heaven. So you are awesome, Lord. And Father, we thank you for each person who's come forward here today. And we pray, dear Lord, we pray, Father in heaven, we pray for you to put your hand upon them. Lord, I thank you. We say, peace of Jesus, peace of Jesus, peace of Jesus. Lord, over every man and every woman who's come here today, peace of Jesus. Oh, the peace of Jesus. Thank you. Lord, we speak to the mountain, that mountain of worry, that mountain of fear, that trepidation, that anxiety. Lord, we say, Lord, put your hand upon them. Oh, Lord, not only do we speak your peace over them, but Lord, that calmness of heart, that they'll be able to be calm and carry on. Lord, I pray they'll become aggressively rooted in you, devoted to you, loving you with all their heart and all their soul and all their might, and being willing to obey you, Lord, whatever you're going to be saying in this hour of need, this crisis moment, Lord, I pray that'll be clearly in their minds, that they're going to live for you flat out, regardless of what happens. Now, Lord, I just pray that whatever that worry, we're going to cast it on you. We lay it on you, Lord. We thank you. We don't want to carry it back to the chair with us. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I repent of my worrying. I repent of my the crisis of my thinking. Lord, I'm laying this on you. Thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you're watching over me. Thank you for Psalm 121. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Oh, Jesus, touch everyone standing here. Thank you, God, for their lives. Lord, we're anxious for them. If they're going through something, we pray that they'll sense our concern and our care. And it means a lot to have a hand on your back or someone taking your hand. So, Lord, as we just minister to these people, we pray in the name of Jesus. Bless them and encourage them. Oh, may they rise up out of that pit of despair and being overwhelmed by life. Lord, I pray they'll see themselves as more than a conqueror. And that the Lord goes before them, and the Lord is behind them, and the Lord is on either side of them, and that they are blessed and protected, and they're going out and they're coming in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless, we pray. Encourage, we pray. And Lord, some of us just have maybe mild symptoms of anxiety, but we cast that on too. We're not sure what to do about that. And we don't want to calculate without you. So God, would you guide us and direct us and show us what to do? And Lord, we believe with all of our heart that when we step out of this place here today, there will be a next step. There will be something there that we can do, someone to phone, someone to check on. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. And then there'll be the next step. Then there'll be the next step. And we thank you. And we bless you. And we bless you. I've asked Vic if he would just softly sing that song that I alluded to just a few seconds ago. And maybe stay, don't go away, stay at the front. The rest of us stand. And Vic's just going to sing a couple of lines of this. Let the presence of the Lord touch you this morning. Maybe you should be under the spout where the glory runs out for a few minutes here today. Maybe this is the Lord will just bathe you in his spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's bless him together. Let's praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our burden bearer. Thank you for the one who carries our anxieties. Thank you, God. Our help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Oh, we love you and praise you and thank you. We give you glory and honor. Lord, we know that as we live in your presence, as we come surrender ourselves afresh, we know that's the start of it. Oh, we can feel it and sense it even here this morning. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your care. Thank you, Lord, you're going to see us through. Thank you, God. We'll have a testimony. This is what the Lord did. This is how the Lord helped. So we thank you. Oh, we thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, great, Lord. Greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray now that as we bring this service to a close and await the second service, we, Lord, send us off with your presence and your power and your grace. I thank you for strong arms around us. I thank you, God, that there's peace walking with you. Lord, not only the peace with God, but the peace of God. We give ourselves to you in freshness. Yield ourselves completely to you. Take us to the next step. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. We invite you to come if you'd like to come to the patio. We've got some good coffee out there and some even better fellowship. So please join us, especially any newcomers. Please come. If you're brand new, pick up your book here this morning from the back lobby there. God bless. See you in the patio.